Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Go with me in your word, if you will. The book of the Gospel of St. John, we're going to go to chapter 12.
Hallelujah.
The Gospel of St. John, chapter 12. I know most of you know this, but just in case, if you have a mobile device, you can go to YouVersion, YOUVersion.com. Go to live events, do a search for CRCOG, and you'll have the notes that are on, that will be on the screen. We're talking about being a world changer, and in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, verse number 30, if you're there, say amen. If you're not, say hang on. I don't think the amens have it. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." If who be lifted up? Jesus. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would let us hear the message of the Spirit and not just the message of the pastor. Let us be challenged. Let us be inspired. And Father, let us be used in Jesus' name, according to your word, in your name I pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Now last week we talked about that we all should be setting the atmospheric conditions in our life through worship and causing it to be a spiritual atmospheric change, that when you walk into a room, that you ought to have the ability to change the atmosphere in that room. And you, so I know that probably somebody is saying, you thinketh more highly of yourself than you ought to. No, no, no. I truly believe that if we are the children of the Most High God, then we have that ability. How many knows that you can bring, every time you go into a situation, we carry two buckets with us. One is filled with gasoline, and the other one is filled with water. And you got to decide which one you're going to do. You're going to make the thing bigger, or are you going to put the fire out? Sometimes the fire needs to be bigger, and other times the fire needs to be put out. But you've got to be you've got to have enough of spiritual discernment to know which one to do what. All right. Now we talked about, and I said this last Wednesday, I want to say it again, because there are a lot of evidences. There's a lot of people who are saying that, how many's heard this, that the rapture is going to take place in the next few days. Now, I've heard that. Now, Pastor, what do you think? I honestly don't know. But here's what I do know, that I know it's going to take place. I don't know if it's going to be in the next few days or not. It could be right now. Right? But here's what I do know, that I need to make sure that I'm ready so that I don't have to get ready. You know, I love those commercials. You've seen those commercials where the wreck happens, and but then they reverse and they get out of the car and they begin to try to talk to one another, and they've been trying to tell them, you know, you can do something different. Well, that's where we are tonight. I want you to know that you and I do not have to die and go to hell. You may say, Pastor, you're talking to the Wednesday night crowd. But I'm just telling the Wednesday night crowd, just because your name is on a roll of a book or of a church somewhere doesn't mean that you're saved. Just because you've said a prayer one time doesn't mean that you're saved. You need the supernatural power of the regenerating power of the blood of Jesus to cause you to be saved. Amen? And so I'm just saying that if you are in doubt, won't you take a moment and just go, Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, Lord, I just put all of the sin under the blood of Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Because you want to be ready, right? But can I tell you that if all you do is pray that prayer, but never do anything else, you are not a world changer. Amen? And I believe that in some ways, and God, I got to be careful here. I'm not, I'm, I, cause I got, I'm, mm. I got to be careful because in some ways, the sinner's prayer has done damage to the kingdom of God. Why? Because we tell people, just say the sinner's prayer and now you're saved. But it really, and it's true, you are saved. But it ought to be the beginning of something. Amen? That you don't just get saved and stay there. You don't just make a confession and stay there. But then you need to start growing in God. And in order to grow in God, you need to walk with God. Amen? And so you need to be a world changer. Help me, Broderick. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the more our world is going to change. It's changed. I mean, I never dreamed that the things that are happening today would take place in my lifetime. But it's happening. It is what it is. Now, here are some world changer facts that you can't get around. You are a target to the enemy. Well, I don't want to be a target. Too late. Well, Pastor, what if I don't get saved? What if I backslide? You're a target. If you're living, you're a target. If you're making an impact, changing your world, you are going to face opposition from the devil. So if you don't learn how to fight, then you're going to get bullied a lot. Amen? You cannot stop advancing. You cannot stop. You got to keep moving. That's the problem. Too many of us, and I love this, and you got to remember, our county is the oldest county in Florida as far as demographics go, and we've got to be careful that we don't get to a place in our age that we say, well, I've done enough, it's somebody else's time. No, there's something that you can do for the kingdom of God. Amen? So, give me an excerpt. We have the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. The Great Commission is to go out and teach and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But the devil has a Great Commission too, and that is to stop every Christian at every point that he can. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You may say, preacher, you're preaching this way too fast. No, I took 45 minutes or an hour last Wednesday and preached it. All right. The Bible teaches that the Christian life is a one of warfare. So I'm just trying to get back to where I left off last week. Come on, give it to me, Broderick. All right. Point number two was this. Acknowledge the adversary. There is an adversary. A friend of mine told me about a church where he preached that they did not want him to use the word devil. They just wanted him to use enemy. Well, I want to know who my enemy is. And my enemy is not my brother or my sister. My enemy is not a different race or a different generation. My enemy is Lucifer. My enemy is the devil. My enemy is Beelzebub. And so I need to know who he is. But you do need to acknowledge that he exists. Because you can't click your heels together three times and declare he doesn't exist because he does. Amen. Peter tells us in First Peter 5:8, that the devil is going about seeking whom he may devour. So he tells us to be sober and to be vigilant, be in self-control, so that we will recognize when the enemy comes at us. When you're being attacked, let me just say this to you. Welcome to the club. The enemy wants you to think you're the only one that's being attacked. But that is not true. Somebody somewhere has gone through what you're going through and has lived to tell about it and has come out victorious on the other side. Can you say amen? If there was no devil, why would God send his son to fight that which does not exist? The Bible says God sent Jesus Christ to defeat the works of the enemy. Realize that the devil is real. However, you also need to realize that Jesus at the cross destroyed the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Satan is now living on borrowed time. And I know I've been doing this long enough. I've been pastoring for 25 years now, and I was raised in church, and I've heard preachers say, well, bless God, Jesus came and he pulled every tooth in the devil's head. Well, I'm going to tell y'all right now, that devil's about to gum me to death in some areas. How many know an old timer who don't have any teeth but can still bite an apple with his gums? Right? That's sometimes how the devil is. But I still come by to tell you that greater is he that's in us than he that stands against us. Listen, he might hurt you. He might deter you. But in Jesus' name, unless Jesus says so, he can't kill you and he can't stop you. If you will not quit, you cannot lose. Can you say amen? All right, so let's go on. You must acknowledge his weapons. 15. I told you we ain't going to get done. If I get through this, I'll be doing good. 15 fiery darts the enemy throws at world changers. There are, and I'm sure there are more. These are just some that I just wanted to bring out. Number one is this. His number one tool. Discouragement. If you want to talk to people, you know, now who gets discouraged? Well, sinners, no, saints. Now, sinners get discouraged, but what I'm talking about, world changers, you and I get discouraged. Why? Because things don't go our way. The things that we're praying about doesn't come to pass. We just get tired of fighting. You know, I remember years and years ago, it was quite a few years ago because I was about 27. And this guy was 27, had three kids, and here's what he told me. He quit his job. He wouldn't work. And I asked him, I said, I almost called his name. I said, why won't you go to work? He said, Pastor, I'm just tired of working. Whoo, the spirit of slap come on me. And I said, listen here, bucko. You got about another 40 years of working unless you just want to die somewhere in a corner. So just suck it up, get over it, be a man, and begin to work. He didn't like that too much, but it was still true. But discouragement is probably the biggest problem in our lives. Because we could go off in tangents of what does discourage us. Unanswered prayer. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's what we think is unanswered prayer, but it's just prayer that answered that not the way we wanted it to be answered. I heard one man say that every prayer is answered. Sometimes he says no. And then other times he says not now. I love it when he says yes. But sometimes, you know, my oldest daughter and her best friend at the time, Gabby, were riding in my backseat. Gabby was a year older, and Jillian asked me something, and I said, maybe, we'll see. She leaned over and said, that means no. But how many knows it doesn't necessarily mean no with God? If God says, not now, it doesn't mean no. It means it could, I didn't want to preach on this part, but it could mean that you're not at a mature level to handle what God's about to, or what you're praying for, of what you wanted. If God gave us everything that we asked for, we would be a bunch of brat kids running around with no discipline and not having a work ethic and not having a battle ethic. You've got to learn how to fight, because this life is a warfare. It is a fight, and the powers of hell are against you, but the power of God is for you. So discouragement, the discouragement that you're really not making an impact, that you're really not changing your world at all. Let me tell you, the people this usually hits. It doesn't usually hit those people that don't do anything. It hits those people who are trying to do something for the kingdom. That's who it hits. So if you're sitting there going, well, that's never crossed my mind. Well, then it's probably because you're not ever doing anything. Let me tell you something. I have never in all of my life lost a tennis match. Because I've never played one. All right? And so if you've never faced discouragement, it's probably because you ain't ever tried to do anything. Amen? But if you try enough, you're going to fail at something. And failure is not bad. Failure teaches you some things, and I don't have time to preach on this. Failure teaches you a couple of ways of how not to do something. Failure teaches you that it teaches you some intestinal fortitude that you just got to keep at it. Failure. Trying to discourage you that you're not seeing any fruit in what you're doing. But wait a minute. I believe there's a scripture for that. Isn't it in Galatians? That says, don't grow weary in your well-doing. For if you faint not, you shall reap a harvest. Once again, I gave the illustration last week about if I went over here and cut the air conditioner in this big old room, if I cut it down to 10 degrees and walked away and then came right back and it didn't happen, I don't have a right to be upset because it takes a process. And if I plant, then I can't go out the next day and look at it unless it's a chia pit. And what is a chia pet worth? Nothing. What nutrient? Nothing. Usually stuff that happens overnight doesn't have any value. Anytime you try to short circuit the process, you're usually going to short circuit you. Amen. So I can't go out the next day and go, well, bless God. I planted them apples yesterday and there's not a tree there yet. Good gracious, I planted collard greens. And now, look, there aren't even collard greens in there. I can't make any pot liquor. For those of you who don't know what pot liquor is, that you're from the north, that's the juice that you get when you cook the greens. It's as good as the greens. Put it with some cornbread. Shut up, somebody, and pass the ham. So, all right, I had to tell Valerie what pot liquor was many years ago, but now she knows. It's all right. Her mama revoked her black card, but it's all right. You know I love you, girl. All right, fiery dart number two, impact failure. You stepped out in faith and failed. And you know what that's really about? That's really about how it makes me look. Well, look, I stepped out in faith and failed. What are people going to think? Well, people are going to think you're human. People are going to think you're not Jesus, but that you serve Jesus. Amen. People are going to think that you're just normal. Amen. I'm so glad that this book is not full of people who never failed. I mean, listen, I get excited about Peter jumping out of the boat and walking on the water. Come on, somebody. Whoo, that's exciting. And I hate to say it though, but I'm a little glad he failed. If he didn't, you know what would happen? Everybody would be at their local pool trying to walk on water. Trying to be the Apostle Peter. Changing your name and starting a ministry on the Apostle Peter. Right? You made a move to change the world and it backfired on you. And you failed.
Well, I'll never try that again.
Oh, just try again. Try again. You know, let me ask this question. Here's where everybody, all of us can relate. Probably everybody but three people. You ever started a diet? How many's ever started a diet but never once failed? Oh, two of you, three? Y'all lying. If you start, cause y'all need to be on one right now. And, so if you started on a diet and you never failed, Now, if you've never started a diet, you're all right, because you ain't, you know, if you ain't ever started one. Some folks on the seafood diet, I see the food, I eat it. I love that one. I've been on the BBB diet, buy bigger britches. That was a good one to be on. But what you do is, if you are trying, and then, and you know what happens, you mess up one day, and you just go, well, forget it, I might as well just go ahead and pig out today. And you pig out for about a week and a half, and then you can't fit in your clothes no more, and you go, I got to lose some weight. Amen. All right. But what should happen is, if you fail today, start tomorrow. Or start this afternoon. Amen? Because failure isn't final. Now let me ask you, let me tell you this. Most of you should know, most of you have been coming here long enough, you should know our church motto, our church vision. We want to be a place where you can find focus for living. Because the reason people fail is because of broken focus. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this, that if you fail, but you didn't lose focus, then you haven't failed. You're still trying. You just found one way that doesn't work. So as long as you continue with your focus, you haven't failed. You're still focused on the goal. You're still focused on what you're wanting to achieve, what you're wanting to impact, and you're just going to keep doing it until it happens in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right, here we go. Number three, fiery dart, personal failure. Woo, Jesus. Well, Pastor, I can't be used by the Lord because I've failed. Join the club. Now, that doesn't mean that we're excited that you fail. It doesn't mean that I'm excited that I fail. That doesn't mean that we bless God. You know, and here's the problem when I preach like this. Here's the problem. Well, Pastor says everybody fails, so we just might as well, you know, just do whatever. Well, I tried, bless the Lord, but it didn't make it, so I failed. Hallelujah. No. No, the Bible says that when you fail, there is forgiveness. But what I love about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. What I love about this story is, she was caught in the act. First of all, I don't understand. There was a peeping Tom somewhere. Nobody wanted to stone him, because, you know, I'm pretty sure they wasn't in the street. But so they brought the lady, and I always go, where's the dude? Ladies, I'm telling y'all, Jesus did more for your liberal and liberty than anybody else on the planet. So where's the dude? But anyways, they brought the lady, and they were going to stone her, and the Bible said Jesus wrote something on the ground. Some people go, he was writing their sin. I don't know. But I just know he wrote something, and he looked up and said, "You who are without sin, cast the stone." The first. And everybody dropped their stones, walked away. And then Jesus said to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" He said, "Neither do I accuse you." But now listen closely. "Neither do I accuse you." Go back to what she was doing. No, that is not what it says. It says, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." That's what repentance is about. That's what forgiveness is about. It's not, you know, I like what one little boy said. He said, being repentant is being sorry enough not to do it again. Go and sin no more. But personal failure is something that if the devil can cause you to trip up, then you get to that point where I don't have any reason to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm not qualified to do anything in the house of God. I'm not qualified to do anything in the kingdom of God. Honey, the Lord uses broken vessels. You know, one thing, when I preached a message several years, probably a couple of years ago on crazy love, and I preached on the vessels, one thing I learned, that the vessels that were cracked, that when they were cracked, restored. But those vessels wouldn't go back into the master's house. They were used for when you came by and saw weary travelers, and they were used to give them something to drink. Help me, somebody. Honey, I don't have to be put up on a shelf and say, look at me. I'm all that in a bag of chips. Just let me be a drink of water for somebody who's come along who needs to be, for their thirst to be quenched. Amen? All right, so personal failure. You dropped the ball. You messed up, failed God with your sin. Then the devil piles on the condemnation, doesn't he? Because that's a fiery dart of his. Boy, I hate to even mention this next one. Number four, opposition from fellow Christians. Opposition from fellow Christians. Whew. Because of jealousy and because of pride. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Some people go, well, they're just jealous of me. No. Sometimes we all need to be corrected from time to time. Especially from those who are over us in the Lord, right? And don't misunderstand. Well, they're just trying to keep me down. No, they're trying to get you on a firm foundation. You know? All right? So, they see your impact and they get jealous and do what they can to undermine you or make you look bad or set you up for failure. Has a Christian ever done that to you? Don't point at them if they're here. Of course it's happened. And many times, they don't even realize they're doing it. Now, here comes one. Are you ready for this one? How many times has the enemy used you unawares to you? You know, I like those people who always quote, touch not my prophets and do my, or touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. I'm thinking, well, what if I'm anointed? And what if you're anointed? We cancel each other out? Right? No, listen, church. Opposition from fellow Christians. I'm not talking about the enemy wants to set you up. Where people think and people judge. Well, Pastor, people ought not judge. Well, they should, but they do. Right? And guess who God is saving? People. But I don't care what people think. That's why you ain't winning nobody to Christ. Bless God, I'm going to obey God, whether it hair lips the devil and people. No. People is who he died for. Do you understand? People is who he died for. Do you understand? Well, I just don't care about... Well, it shows you don't care about people. Well, I just got to obey... You got to obey God. But the Bible says the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Which means that you do have some control. All right? Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Number five. Rumors, false allegations, and lies of others. The impact you're making will upset the enemy. Thus, he'll use his people to bring false attacks, rumors, and allegations against you. Let me tell you something. You cannot chase down every rumor that started about you. I've been in this church for 22 years, and to my knowledge, I have, according to the word that I've heard from other people, it didn't get real big, so my wife would probably say, well, why you don't need to tell that? But according to several different people, I've had four affairs. Let me just go on record. I haven't had none. How can you know? Because I'm still living. My wife would kill me in my sleep. She watches enough forensic files that they would never know it was her. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is one lady was a waitress, and she came to me. She said, "Pastor, do you know so-and-so?" I said, "I have no clue who they are." She said, "Well, they sit in my section today, and they said that you're the reason why him and his wife is separated." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, he said you had an affair with his wife." I said, "Lord, I'd have walked all over that girl looking for a girlfriend." Woo. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Mm-mm. I told the waitress, I said, "Have you seen my wife and his wife? There's no comparison." So anyway. So I got mad. She said, "He comes every certain day of the week, sets to this section." So I said, "Boy, all right, bless God, I'm going to take care of this." Yes, sir. I went a little ghetto on him. I'm going to take care of this. So I drove to the restaurant on that day. And sitting in the parking lot waiting for him to appear. I said, "Oh, yeah. The Lord is about to have vengeance. Yes, saith the Lord of hosts." And the Lord said, "You can't chase down every rumor about you." And I don't know if this was the Lord or not. The guy got out. And I thought it was him. I still ain't sure if it was him. I think it was him. The guy got out. And I thought, he's so stupid. That's why I said, I don't think it might not have been the Lord. I'm just being real. So unless you're ready to go chase down every rumor which is going to consume your life, you can outlive it. You know, matter of fact, I had the privilege of burying this young man who, once again, when our church began to grow, another church, Church of God, down the street. This guy came to our church. Here's what he said to me after about 6 months of being here. He said, "You know, Pastor, I've been in business meetings with you now. I've been with you at church for several months." He said, "That pastor down there said you're the most arrogant man he's ever met in his life." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what? And I believed him." He said, "But I've been around you long enough that it's not truth at all." He said, "You know, you're confident in some areas, but you're not arrogant." And so I just had to outlive it. You know, now my first response was to pick up the phone and say, "Hello, brother." "What up with this, brother?" Because let me just help you. If I got a problem with you, I'm going to bring it to you. Because I learned a long time ago, can't nobody do nothing about you but you. That's good preaching. All right, so you cannot allow the false attacks of other people and allegations and lies of other people to distract you, because that's all they are. Is a distraction from the main goal of what God's called you to do, and that is be a world changer. And you can't be a world changer if you're trying to change everybody's mind about you. Amen. All right, where am I at? Number six: misunderstandings of others. When people misunderstanding why you are doing what you're doing. They see you as a threat against their norm. Oh, did you hear that? See, sometimes people don't really care that you got out of that life. They just now, you're showing them that it doesn't always have to be that way, and it makes them look bad. It's not that they're upset that you got out. It's they're upset that you got out and they feel like they can't. But if you will be the world changer, you just keep living it in front of them and letting them know that you don't have to live in a dilapidated state, because Jesus saves, sanctifies, and brings you up out of the miry clay and puts your feet on the rock to stay and establishes your goings and establishes your comings. Hallelujah. They see you as a threat against their norm. They see you as a threat to their security, their way of life. They see you as the enemy. They see you as the enemy. You know, I've told this story before. When our church, you know, I've been here 22 years. When we came, it was about 45 people. And when our church started growing, and let me just go on record, because Pastor Cash pastored in our district. It was not Pastor Cash. There were some Church of God pastors on our region that began to tell me, oh, we know why you're growing. I said, because I was like, you know, when I came here, I was 27. I was like, really? Why? Because I didn't know. I was being sincere. Really, why are we growing? Here's what he said. Because y'all just let anybody come. And I was like, yeah, I know, but why are we growing? He said, that's why you're growing, because you just let anybody come. Y'all don't have quality, you just have quantity. I went, wow. Okay. But that didn't get me as much as the next guy. About 2 or 3 weeks later, another pastor. He said, how y'all doing? So I was telling him, I was excited about what God's doing. He said, oh, we know why you're growing. I was like, yeah, can we just let anybody come? He's like, no, that's not it. I said, oh, yeah, really? Why? He said, his words, not mine, because you're getting all of our rejects. And I went, I said, yeah, that might be truth. I said, I'll tell you why we're getting the rejects. Because I remember a man that went to save his own people and they rejected him. I said, as a matter of fact, I know of a pastor that's pastoring Crystal River Church of God that was rejected by the establishment of the Church of God at the time because I wasn't normal. I said, but I guess we're getting all the rejects because I was rejected. And let me just say this to you, sir, that if you got anybody else you want to reject out of your church, we'll take them. Because let the disease come. Let the sinful come. Let those that don't know Jesus, let those that are hurt, let them come. Because here's what I believe. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, it can wash away any sin. It can wash away any dirt. It can heal any hurt. No matter where you've been or where you're at, I know that the blood of Jesus still saves and makes whole. Well, glory. They completely misunderstand the motives of what you're doing. Once again, it's just distractions. Getting your eyes on something else instead of the vision. Getting you to focus on the minors instead of the majors. Avoid distractions. This is one thing I think the Lord has taught me and is teaching me over the years. That if you're going to be effective in the kingdom, assignments in battle, that you've got to focus not on yourself, you have to focus yourself. I want to let that sink in. Don't focus on yourself, but you got to focus yourself and not be distracted. You got to be like those guards in England, making everything, they just still focused. I don't know what they're looking on. I don't know what they focused on. I don't know what. I don't know how they do it. But here's what I know. Jesus said that he focused on the joy that was set before him on the other side of the cross. He wasn't looking forward to the cross. He was looking forward to what was coming after he went to the cross and saved your soul and saved my soul. That we could come to this church and lift up holy hands to a holy God. He was looking beyond that. And you've got to look beyond who's coming. coming against you. You got to look beyond the distractions of your life and say, I am a world changer. I am a child of God. I will do the business of the King. Come on, give him praise. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. You know what's important in life. There are so many things that want your piece of your time. But we come to Jesus Christ and we say, Lord, reporting for duty. Reporting for duty. Now here's what happens. We come to the Lord, we say, all right, Lord, I'm ready. Put me in. All right, come put me in, Lord. I'm ready to go. What's wrong with me? I wonder why he won't put me in. Lord, I took the class. Lord, I went through the training. Lord, I'm anointed and I know I'm anointed. That pastor can't see it. I'm anointed and I know I'm anointed. But that pastor Steve, he just got something against me. Lord, put me in. And what happens is we get frustrated on the sidelines because God is not giving us the attention that we think we deserve. Because we're ready. It's not about you being ready. It's about him being ready. And let me tell you something. Whoo, Jesus. Let me tell you this. There are many times we think we're ready when you ain't ready. And then there are plenty of times when you think you're ready or when you think you're not ready, you're ready. Usually when you think you can't do it is when you're usually ready. Man, when you're thinking you got it all together, woo, child, I got this. Woo, I got this. Yeah, yeah. Boy, if they'd put me in, let me tell you what I'd do. I'd do this, that, and the other thing. My Lord, this, this, this. And I'd hundreds, thousands we'd drawn to whatever I did. Yes, that's what happened. Woo. And God said, no, it's all about you. And it's not the anointing. And until you get you out of the way, I'm not going to be able to use you. So keep getting yourself ready. Keep getting yourself ready. Keep learning. Keep getting yourself ready. But when you're ready, I'm going to say when you're ready. All right, I'm trying to close. But it's hard because I'm in the middle of it. There's a lot of good things. Hear this. There's a lot of good things I could be involved in. But I got to ask God, Lord, what are the God things you want me involved in? There's a lot of good things that are not sin, but is it God things? Goes back to distractions. Here's where we got to get to. Is there's really one person that I've got to please. And it's not Sherry. I try. Those of you who don't know, that's my wife. There's one person I got to please, and it's not Ronnie. That's me. It's him. It's Jesus. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Now, I learned a long time ago, usually when I think I got it figured out, it's usually, it ain't right.
Oh, I know exactly how God's going to do it. Yes. Shout out a hole. Usually it ain't that way. Let's fight against distractions, man. We got to be world changers, guys. If I'm pleasing Him, what's going to count at the end of my life? You know, remember the phrase that the Word of God says that the Lord will say to us one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do I get to count myself as a faithful servant if I don't please Him? You know, I've been pastoring now 25 years. I started when I was 10. Of course, I'm kidding. But I've had to ask myself the question. I'm just like you. I want people to like me. I don't want people to dislike me. But at the end of the day, I've got to ask the Lord, "Lord, am I pleasing to You? Are my actions, the things that I have done, are they pleasing to You? Not to You." As pastor, God, I certainly would want my church people to love me and to like me. But at the end of the day, God, did I please You? You know, and I know some people who go to the extreme. Well, bless God. You know, I know. The Lord said that the folks would hate you for my sake. Not everybody. If nobody likes you, you're doing it wrong. Some people don't like you until they get to know you. And then some people, when they get to know you, realize they don't like you. You inside and out, and not only likes you, but He loves you, and He loves you too much to leave you the same way He found you. That's right. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. No, I mean today. I mean, He loves you too much to leave you the same way that you were yesterday. He wants you to progress, and you do that through Him. Well, I've got 8 more on just this section. So we're not going to make it. It's 8:30. Here's what I want us to do tonight. Can we just stand, those of us that can and will? Would you just stand with me? And would you just lift up your hand to Him? And there's a song that Dennis is playing right now. It says, "Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, have Your way in me." Hallelujah, Jesus. Today, tonight, God, our prayer to You is that we give You our heart and our soul. Lord, would You help us to live in reality? Not in some kind of la-la land, but in reality. Lord, there's sometimes that we get to that place that It seems like we can't help anybody because we're just, sometimes we just get too far out there, God. But then other times, God, we live just too much in reality. Would you help us to get that balance? And the way I do that, Lord, is by giving you my heart and my soul and declaring that it is for you that I live and you alone. And Lord, that's so hard to balance because I have a wife, I have children, I have responsibilities, I have friends, I have a church. Lord, there are so many of those things pulling on me. But Lord, help me tonight to be the best Ronnie Reed that I can be for you. Not Pastor Ronnie Reed, not Bishop Ronnie Reed. Help me to change my world. Help me to be a world changer. That I not get distracted, that I not fall to distractions, or I fall to misunderstandings or rumors or oppositions or even personal failure. Give us the grit to get back up and to be impactful for your kingdom. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, just make that your prayer tonight.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. And every breath that I take.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.